Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's really great to see you all. Thank you. Good morning. Words. Words can change the course of a day. And in fact, I might argue, and I believe many may argue, that strong words can, for better or worse, possibly even change the trajectory of one's life. As Christ followers, we are all called to make choices, to use words that are filled with love, and to call upon wisdom in finding the words that we choose to use. Sounds easy, right? Probably not so much. It's not quite as straightforward when we put that into practice. You'll see in James, we are reminded that the tongue, while small, makes great boasts. The tongue, per se, and how we choose to use our tongue by the words that we speak, that small tongue of ours carries great power. Our tongue, our words, they carry the power to love. Our tongue carries the power to encourage, to heal. And with that also comes the power to hurt. The tongue can destroy. Have you ever heard the old schoolyard poem, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will break my heart"? And in my experience, both in memories as a child and recently as an adult, that version of the poem often is a bit more truthful and accurate in how words can impact others, more so maybe than the "words will never hurt me" version that you can also hear to end that poem. Our words, in my experience, can easily build someone up. It can bring love and life. And words can also tear us apart and hurt those around us. For me, personally, words often come easily. And those of you who know me, I wouldn't be surprised if you called me chatty. And for better or for worse, that can go in both directions. And those words have been an asset for me at times and in certain situations. And I have most certainly gotten myself into some trouble with my words. Words they can spew out sometimes when we don't know what to say or how to say what it is that we're thinking. We blurt it out. Out it comes. And there are times when the words exit our mouths with a fast and furious pace because they are filled with genuine emotion and are simply a reaction. In James 3:7, we are taught very directly that we should tame the tongue. Because you see, when the words just come out, they are often like a lion on the prowl, in a crowd, and ready to pounce. Like taming the lion, taming the tongue is something that we can do as we grow wise. We can be tame and wise in how we choose to use our words when we interact with others, when we love on others. Our words can be a way for us to share our own love of Christ and Christ within us. But this is a practice that takes intentionality, using wisdom in how we choose our words. It takes grace. It takes humility. It takes practice.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. And taming the tongue, yeah, as Randy's highlighting from James 3:7, you know, you could also call it watching your mouth, thinking before you speak, and so on. We say these kind of things because we know how powerful words are. When I was growing up, I was often told, watch your mouth. You can imagine what I was saying. And still today, I need people saying that because somehow the words, well, they start forest fires like James 3:5 talks about. It's not my metaphor, it's his. It's this metaphor that's really powerful when you think about it. The tongue, James 3:5, is like a spark. Mm-hmm. Words can be like a spark that start a forest fire. And I resonate with these metaphors and that one specifically because I've had that experience many times, to be honest, where I've had to spend energy because speaking a spark that started a forest fire, I had to go back and contain the fire, put the fire out, spend time dealing with the fire, reckoning, you know, what I've said, making it right. Other times, though, I will say, I've had people say, Ryan, you said just what I needed to hear in that moment. You said just what I needed to hear. Sometimes it's years later, I'm not patting myself on the back, it's just happened. People will say, you said exactly what I needed in that moment, I remember it. And so it's like sometimes my speaking is good, sometimes it's not. Like, what do I do? And that tension is exactly what James is inviting us into. That very tension of saying, wait a minute, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, so what's the way forward? How can we be wise with our words? That's the question. You know, as we get from James 3:5 and the metaphor of a spark that can start a forest fire, our words, into, you know, taming a lion, as Randy highlighted from James 3:7, the question now is, how can we be wise? How can we find joy and thriving in our lives that's directly connected to being wise with our words? And all along in the series, we've mentioned that the book of the Proverbs in the Bible is a great cross-reference to James. James himself was highly influenced by the Proverbs, and that's evident in his writing. And so it's good to cross-reference the Proverbs with James. James is where we've been anchored in the series, by the way, in case you didn't know. And in the Proverbs, another book in the Bible, is a great cross-reference. So look at what the Proverbs has to say about words. Look at Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Classic Proverbs, just getting right to it. Just getting right to it there. And absolutely, there's times where we need to be sensible and keep our mouth shut. But also just a couple verses later. Literally, like two verses later, Proverbs 10:21, the words of the godly encourage many. The words of the godly encourage many. So Proverbs 10:19 is saying, be sensible with your words. In fact, be sensible enough to keep your mouth shut so you don't start a forest fire that you're going to have to go back and contain and deal with, and it's going to hurt other people. But then just a couple verses later, the words of the godly will encourage many. And we have to assume if you're encouraging many, you're talking to many. There may not be many words. I think all of us could agree some of our best encouragement has probably come from those who have spoken few words. But they were powerful, right? They were what we needed in the moment. Just a couple of words, concise, sincere, what we needed. So it's not that you have to have a bunch of words to encourage, but if you're encouraging many, you're talking to many. That's just that simple. So why the contrasting advice? Why the contrasting advice? Well, it's not contrasting advice if God's word is smart enough, which it is. God's word is unfailingly smart. Unfailingly smart to realize that the people that need God's word, God's people and us, we have different personalities. So we need these disciplines at different times, in different ways. Also, it depends on the conversation, the season of life, the situation. And so actually, it's not contrasting advice. It's saying, hey, practice these two disciplines. It's called the discipline of evaluation. Wise evaluation of our words. Is this a time to be sensible and with intentionality, keep my mouth closed? Or is this a time to speak up? That's the wise evaluation we're invited into, and exactly what the Proverbs getting after. And just a couple more things on this. Let's talk about the keeping your mouth shut piece. Even the great Dallas Willard, renowned philosopher, he's passed now, but renowned philosopher of our times, he practiced this. And there's a story that comes out of one of his classrooms as a professor. He was teaching a class, and a student challenged him right at the end of class. And this student got arrogant based on other students witnessing it. They're the ones that tell the story. He didn't tell the story. The students in the class told the story. Based on their witness of it, the student was real arrogant, thought he believed he pinned Dr. Dallas Willard in a bit of a philosophical corner. And you teachers out there, you know what it's like when the student literally believes they're teaching you. This is like the ultimate version of that, right? And so the class waited to see Dallas Willard put this arrogant student in his place. Dallas Willard simply responded, "Class is dismissed. Class is dismissed." Disappointed, several students went up to him and said, "What are you thinking? You could have put that student in his place with just a mere sentence or two and shut down his arrogant thinking." And Dallas Willard said this, "I am practicing the discipline of not needing to have the final word. I am practicing the discipline of not needing to have the final word." And what wisdom that is. See, and this is the difference between wisdom and being intellectual and having wisdom. Having wisdom has nothing to do with being intellectual. Was Dallas Willard intellectual? Absolutely. But in that moment, he was defined by something deeper that's available to all of us. In other words, you don't have to go to college to have wisdom. I'm not knocking college. I went there. But you don't, I'm just saying wisdom is available to all people. It's not about measuring intellect. It doesn't matter about the SATs or any of that. It's wisdom available to all. And in that moment, that was the mark of wisdom, not intellect. Practicing the discipline of not needing to have the final word. Something we can all do. Wisdom we can all embrace. And that's the wisdom the Proverbs, God's word, is inviting us into. But then some of us, you know, we need that. And others of us, Proverbs 10:21, words encourage many. And some of us, honestly, we just simply, we don't say enough because we're scared, we're afraid. We have that burden on our heart to encourage someone we're thinking of, but we think, well, that's not my place. And, you know, I'll reach out to them next year. I mean, I've done that plenty of times. Missed the opportunity to encourage a friend I'm thinking about, or a family member, to reach out and love and encourage. And some of us, we really need to practice this discipline of, hey, don't wait to speak life. Don't wait to speak encouragement instead of finding reasons not to. And this is why this all this tension, and it's headed a good place, believe me, something to be excited about, but all this tension we're in about, well, when can you say this, when can you say that, when's the right time to use words, when's the right time to be, you know, keeping your mouth closed. James 3:7, the lion to be tamed. James 3:5, the spark that can start a forest fire. All of this is saying, hey, evaluate what is wise in the moment, in the situation, in the season. And we must evaluate what we say and why we say it, or why we stay silent. If we're being intentionally silent, it's good to know why. Say we're anchored in confidence. We're not just being silent because, you know, we couldn't have the final word. It's like, oh, I could have the final word, like Dallas Willard, but I'm going to choose not to. I'm going to practice the discipline, not needing to have the final word. The world's going to keep spinning whether I have the final word or not. It's kind of that humility of just realizing I don't need to have the final word. Great wisdom, and also wisdom to say, you know, given the opportunity, the Holy Spirit leads me. I need to speak up. I need to say what's on my heart. And so all of this is leading us to evaluate. Luke 6:45, Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And therefore, it's incredibly life-giving and crucial for us to do this evaluation and have the discipline of speaking encouraging, sincere words, even when they aren't polished up quite yet, with the discipline of not needing to have the final word. And knowing when to keep our mouths closed and be intentionally silent. Now remember, Jesus said the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And Randy's going to walk us through a bit more understanding what we see from James on that concept.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. James asks in chapter 3, verse 11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So I'm going to ask us all today, right here, how do we answer James' question? So think about this. Can a fig tree bear olives? Of course not, right? A fig tree does not bear olives. It bears figs. We also know that the fresh water is no longer fresh once salty water enters the spring. Fresh water is no longer fresh once the salt enters the spring. Once this happens, what do we need? We need a filter to get back to fresh water. And a few moments ago, Ryan talked about the importance of evaluating how we use the words that we are going to speak. So we're left wondering, what can be our filter? How do we keep our own personal springs proverbially fresh? Well, I think Ryan and I both want to encourage you today and suggest that your filter, that my filter, that all of our filter be Jesus Christ. In Matthew 7:17, Jesus tells us, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So I'll ask again, what kind of tree do you want to be? What is your fruit? I think that most of us here want our fruit to represent that of Christ. I know that's what my heart's desire would be. That's what I seek each and every day. But I haven't arrived. Far from it, in fact. And just like a growing tree, we must each take intentional steps to grow ourselves in Christ. Take intentional steps to regularly seek Him. We have to be willing to seek Him first, to be full of Christ in our own hearts so that we can bear the kingdom fruit and so that we can share the kingdom fruit. And that's key. And again, here Proverbs can help us understand. In Proverbs 2:6, we hear, "For the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So we hear that we can and we should study the Word so that we can seek understanding. We can ask. We can stop and we can ask, what would the wise one do? We can and we should engage in prayer. And this is a really important practice for each of us. And I know for personally, prayer is huge because as you remember I said earlier, I am chatty and sometimes have too many words. And I have not arrived in perfectly healing speech. And by being able to stop, I can hit pause. And I can pray that God will give me wisdom and patience and other characteristics that I would desire to be more Christ-like in my speech. As a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a member of pastoral staff, there are many times that I need to hit pause, and that pause comes through prayer. With our own earthly means, how else can we go about gaining wisdom? I think that's a question when I think of how do you get wisdom? Well, there are some ways, and we can look to James, the book of James again, for another example. And author Scott McKnight, in his book, One Life, Jesus Calls, We Follow, he writes something that I felt was pretty profound for today as we consider how we can seek wisdom. McKnight writes, "No book sounds more like Jesus than the book of James, but he only one time quotes Jesus. James was a wise man because he completely absorbed what his brother, the Messiah, had taught." Listen to this. "Wisdom is about the reverence of receiving the wisdom of the wise." Wisdom is about the reverence of receiving the wisdom of the wise. Solomon was the fool because he stopped receiving the wisdom of God. James was wise because he received the wisdom of the wise one. That's the wise posture of a follower of Jesus. Wise people sound like their mentors. So practically speaking, while we're studying the Word and we're seeking God, we can also choose to learn from a mentor. And I'd love for you to ask yourself right now, this moment, Who's the person in your own life that you're thinking about as we are going through the morning? Who are those people who have shown wisdom in action? Might that be a person who has confronted you at some point? Or someone you've seen confront another person? Or that person who tackled a really tough situation head on, but they've done it in love. They've practiced grace, humility, patience, sincerity, and they've been humble while doing it. I encourage you, think of who that person, or maybe those up to three people in your own lives might be, who has been placed on your walk, your journey, that shows wisdom in action. And then we challenge you. Humbly reach out to those people. Give them a call. Ask if they might be willing to spend some time with you so that you might learn from their actions, their wisdom that they're able to share. And then here's the hard part. Absorb what you can, receive that wisdom, and then work to execute it so that you too can call upon wisdom in the words that you speak. James 3:17 says, "But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." And as James says those words, I can't help but think, wow, are those some amazing adjectives to describe wisdom? And isn't it my heart's desire to have any one of those words describe the way in which I might choose to speak to another person? So as we, as Christ followers, seek wisdom, we can see all across the Gospels that Jesus was about loving and healing people. Jesus was all about loving and healing others through his actions, through his words, through all that he is as our living Lord. And we believe that this is his call for all of us to move from this hollow, these maybe hurtful words, and move into healing speech. And Ryan, you're going to walk us through that next step.
Yeah, that's really where I need to go. I need to move. I do. I need to move. It's good to confess among the believers. Confession, I need to move from hollow words to healing speech. My words still elude me at times. Isn't that the tragedy? You say something. Remember Jesus said, the words flow from the heart. But here, there's a tragedy in when you say something that doesn't reflect your heart. You know, it's like, wow, I love you. Why did I say something that hurt you? You know, why? What is happening? What's our brokenness that we just can't seem to control the words sometimes? And so it does. It reveals my brokenness. It excites me, though, to pursue Jesus in being a person of healing. That's what I want to do. I want to move from hollow words to healing speech. That's the invitation. And that excites me, even though I haven't arrived. See, here's the thing, though. Sometimes when we think about following Jesus, I think we believe that a true follower of Jesus has arrived. False.
Very false.
When I read the text, when I read the Bible, there's only one person in the whole thing that arrived. Jesus arrived, literally. Arrived, Emmanuel, God with us. He's the only one arrived. Everyone else is on a journey. And that's what we're invited into here. Acknowledgement that we don't get it right. Acknowledgement that we need wisdom. We need Jesus guiding us. And that acknowledgement plus the desire to be someone of healing speech, that is discipleship. That is enough. That desire is enough. And yes, we hope that Jesus leads us in ways where the rhythms become real, so it's not just fake, right? None of us want to sit here and say, yeah, that's great. I hope I, you know, somehow make that happen. If you truly desire that it bears fruit in your life, that's discipleship. That is following Jesus. Discipleship's another word for being a Jesus follower. That desire alone is enough. If it's genuinely truly there, and it is for me. I don't want to add to the noise. I don't want to hurt people with my words. I really don't. I want to be a person of healing speech, and that desire. Because God's not about following rules. Jesus showed us that. It's about a relationship with him that creates rhythms in our lives, and his love and grace transforms us. And we can have disciplines, if you want to call those roles, fine, but we can have disciplines, absolutely, wise evaluation, what we're discussing. We can have disciplines that lead us into this life we want. It's not role following. It's a desire to be disciplined in these ways so that we're people of healing speech. And if that's genuinely your heart desire, there's some, I'll say it, healthy pride in that. That's what we can be excited about. Say, hey, I desire this. And Jesus is saying, if I desire this, I can follow him and he'll transform me along the way. And if you're there, that's something to be excited about. It's something I'm excited about. And we've talked about how we can be following these disciplines, these rhythms. It's wise evaluation, right? I'm just going to sum up some of the things we've discussed. Wise evaluation. Remember, it's okay to be silent. You don't need to have the final word in every argument. You don't need to have the final word on every social media post. Remember, Dallas Willard, class is dismissed. You could say, Facebook is dismissed for the day. I don't need to have the final word. Or constantly be saying things. It's okay to be silent. And some of us need to follow that discipline. At the same time, we're called to encourage many. Here's the thing, we do have a voice. The message of this morning is not be silent. It's about being wise with our words. God has given us a voice. God has given you a voice. We need to speak up. We need to share what God puts on our hearts. We need to speak life and affirmation, encouragement and healing in the ways we saw Jesus do that. And the way Jesus does do that as our living Lord, he speaks encouragement to us by his Holy Spirit. We can overflow that to others by following him. And so we have those two disciplines to follow. With all of this, as Randy said, we must let Jesus Christ be our filter. Mm-hmm. Right? We heard from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew, the overall reminder that he's our ultimate guide and filter and how we do our best, fallen as we are, to embrace wisdom with our words. And so we're left to discern what to speak up about and when, what words need to be shared and when to stay silent and be completely at peace with not needing to add to the noise in a situation or conversation. And a lot of this is about taking control of what we say. We want God to be in control, but self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Galatians 5. Self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. So we want God to be in control, absolutely. And God leads us to having a life that is, it's obvious we have self-control. And so I have to confess, I don't always display that in my words. And that's okay, because my heart's desire, I know what it is the right desire. And I'll continue to be transformed by Christ, and I'll continue to grow. And the awareness of that, I think, a mentor told me, Ryan, your awareness of that is a gift. I said, but I'm tired of learning the hard lesson again and again and again. He said, your awareness of that is a gift. So I believe this mentor of mine, I'll continue turning the page towards being a person of healing speech. And some days that means acknowledging that I wasn't that and that I want that. And so I seek Jesus in that. And so we're left to discern this, and it's exciting to get after, though. I think it is. And one last metaphor I want to share. James 3 is all about the metaphors. Here's the last one I want to share this morning. This is my daughter, Aria, and she was able to exercise control of our horse, Shadow. Quick side story. Shadow has a more permanent home with a summer camp that is not meeting right now due to COVID-19 in the pandemic that we're all walking through. And so we get him for a time, and we're loving to love on him while he too is waiting for this to be over. And I just find that, I don't know, healing for me, or encouraging. I love animals, I do. And, you know, I think about, he wants it to be over too. You know, I just want to acknowledge that today for any one of your hearts that you're just desiring this to be over. But we'll be faithful, we'll stick together, we'll get through it. We'll encourage one another along the way. But he too wants it to be over. He's usually at a summer camp with other kids, but I think he's enjoying his time with us. We're enjoying our time with him. And Aria was able to exercise control over Shadow by a small bit in his mouth. And look at what James 3:3 says. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. A bit later in verse 5, likewise the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. And so let's use our imagination here. We're allowed to. I think James, if he was sitting here with us, I think he would say, here's what I'm trying to tell you. It's amazing an 8-year-old can control this enormous animal by a small bit in the mouth. Likewise, your tongue, though small, your words, though you think small, make great boasts. They control the whole animal of your life, the whole direction. I think James would say, I'm telling you, they control the direction of a situation. They control the direction of your life, so be wise. Seek Christ. Find joy in thriving with wise words. Mm. And that's what I want. That's my desire. It really is. I don't always get it right, but I'll continue turning the page because I'm excited to keep that journey going. And if you are too, I'm saying that is something to be excited about. That Jesus can lead us to be people of healing speech in replacing hollow words. It's an amazing thing we get to get after. We're not perfect, as we've said a bunch of times, but we can seek wisdom and grow and even change direction. That is available. We can change direction today, tomorrow, and that's all available to us in Christ and his love for us and his grace and his gifts for us.
Yeah, amen, Ryan. And, you know, that's right. We aren't perfect. We have not arrived. But what comfort, what joy we can find in knowing that we can start right now in this moment seeking the one who is perfect, the one who has that wisdom for the words to heal others. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Father God, we are so, so thankful for you, for your presence here with us, Lord. We are thankful that we can seek you in every moment, Lord, that you can help us to grow in wisdom and our abilities to be healing people who love on others when we interact, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just invite you in to our hearts so that we can be loving and that we may make positive impact on those that we encounter in our days and weeks ahead, Lord. We thank you and we love you. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.